are going through this beginning of the year, just covering our mission statement, our focus for the foreseeable future. So we're on a journey with friends to freedom. And the last month, hopefully, you should have been hearing about friendship. Nod to me if you were here and you heard someone speak about friendship. Yes? Excellent. Good. And I'm going to start this month and pushing forward onto what freedom looks like. Because ultimately, a journey with friends is great, but where's it going? For me, you know, there has to be an objective. Just going around and around in circles is all well and good, but actually, I believe that there's a place where we are and a place where God wants us to be, and those two are different. And the journey is from one to another. It's from a place of because I don't believe that what we see around us is what God intended. God planned for us. It's not God's best, and therefore He wants to lead us to a place that is better than what we currently have. If you look at the scripture in Galatians 5 and verse 1, because some of you will say, well, the work of what Jesus did was this, or what Jesus did was that, or what Jesus did was to come and tell us how to live. But Galatians 1 and verse 5, I'm looking at Ella because that's your job, Ella, this morning. Well done. Says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. If you read back in the story of Jesus very early on in his ministry, he quoted from Isaiah 61, and he said, I have come to set the captives free, to release the prisoners. So there has to be a point that we say that we are not free, because if we were free, he wouldn't have had to come and set us free. And so the beginning bit of a journey to freedom is to say, are we free or is there still a ways to go? In John 10, verse 10, another famous verse, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. If that's the NIV, if we got the New Living, it would say a rich and satisfying life. So you've got to, first of all, got to believe that there is a better way and there is more to the Christian life than just ticking the box and doing the right thing and making sure that, you know, God is pleased with you, because He is pleased with us. He loves us. When God wants to talk to me and speak to me, on occasions He'll give me a song in my mind. Sometimes it's a Christian song, sometimes it's another song. This week it was Billy Joel, I Love You Just the Way You Are. Don't go changing to try and please me. And some of us believe that we've got to change and do stuff for God to be pleased with us. We don't. We start by believing that. In John 8, and I'm just throwing some of these scriptures in because they start as a bedrock of what Jesus is saying. Jesus said to the Jews in John 8 verse 31. He said to the Jews who had believed in him. So this isn't just the general crowd. These are the people who are following him, who think they're doing the right thing, who think they've got they're on the inside. He says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they got upset about it. If you carry on reading that thing, they said, we're not slaves, we've never been slaves. And Jesus puts them straight. And further down, many, many people leave because they can't handle it. So the freedom that we want is a freedom in our souls. We talk in this church quite a bit about what it means to have in terms of our souls. Freedom in our minds, freedom in our emotions, freedom then in our actions. But the beginning bit of it all starts in the mind. Everything we do starts in the mind, in getting our thinking right, getting our thoughts right. Much of what we do in terms of our singing here is to actually kind of wash our thoughts with the truth. What Sue said today about those songs, you're everything you've promised. The issue with that is that you have to keep telling to yourself, you're everything you've promised. Because the battle is in the mind to say, are you really everything you promised? That is the issue not only that we have, but and everyone has. It's even the problem that Jesus had. Because when he was baptized, God, it was clearly heard, the Bible says, from heaven, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit alighted on him like a dove, and then he went into the desert. The first thing that he heard from the enemy was, if you are the Son of God, do this. So every time you try and make progress in the way you think about something, you will find a resistance from the enemy who will say, that isn't true. That isn't going to happen. God didn't say that. He's going to constantly be accusing you. That's why freedom is easy to say and hard to achieve. It is something that we have to, Galatians, that the second part of the verse says, stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's harder than you think. It's not just God going around going, you're free, you're free, you're free. But it is something that he wants to do. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. Do we agree on that one? God is love. God is not just loving, God is love. So where God is, there is love. And the opposite to that, the opposite to love, is not hate, it's fear. So if there is anything in our minds and in our lives that we're afraid of, then we're not living fully in the kingdom of God, and when we haven't had our minds transformed and renewed so that we can live freely. I don't know about you, but I'm probably, and I this is a bit of an internet diagnosis, but I'm probably a little bit of a hypochondriac. Now, a hypochondriac doesn't think they're ill all the time. But when they are ill, they think the worst case scenario. That's the kind of definition as far as I can tell. So when I get a headache, you know, I'm going to die. It's not just a headache, you know. If there's a lump, you know, it's all over. That's where my mind takes me to. I'd like it not to, but that's part of the way my thinking isn't sorted out. And in any way where fear comes in, we're not trusting God, and therefore we're not living in freedom. If you've got little kids, and you know, the Bible says we should be like little children. You know, I don't know about you, but my kids, when they were 5 and 6, didn't go to bed worrying about whether they were going to get any breakfast. They didn't get concerned about whether lunch was going to be provided. They didn't get worried about. They weren't worried because they just knew that we were there and that's what we were going to do. And some of what God wants us to do is to get to a place, and, you know, sometimes we think, oh, maybe it's a bit blasé and it's a bit presumptuous. But the other side of it is trusting in our own ability so much and fearing so much that we have no freedom. We can fear people. We can fear circumstances. Some of us can even be afraid of God. That's where the enemy gets us in the first instance. Because if you don't believe that God is good and wants the best for you, then you're not going to want to be free anyway. You're not going to want to hear from him to know that the things that he tells you are going to lead you into freedom. Ephesians 4 says, like the Gentiles, in the futility of their thinking. How much of our time is spent thinking about things that we don't need to be thinking about? And I believe that God wants to lead us into freedom in that area. Old patterns ways we've always thought, things that start to occur in our mind that build up. And it usually is built up through experiences. You know, we've had an experience and that shapes the way we think about something, and we have another experience and it makes that rut deeper, and it continues to form until we have a synaptic pathway in our mind that means when that input comes in, that output always happens. And that is the difficulty that God has, because we have already sort of hardwired ourselves in a certain way. And so when God comes in, he has to undo that thinking. But first of all, we've got to admit that we do have that thinking. We've got to admit that actually we don't see it the way God sees it. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." And if you know anything about that verse, it's talking that the Greek talks about metamorphosis. You see, when we're talking about freedom in this context, we're talking about being free, being really free. We're not talking about controlling yourself. Who is afraid of the dark? This is on the number 10. This is top 10. Well, a number of the top 10 of things that people are afraid of. One is the dark. I'm not in no particular order. Who's going to be honest and say they're afraid of the dark? Come on, people. We'll move on. Spiders. Spiders. Heights. Excellent. Flying. Okay. Public speaking. And then there's a few at the end which are a bit more intimacy and relationship. So that, you know, but let's take something that, like the dark. The lights go out and you feel afraid. Instantly you feel afraid. It's not a you do or don't know that you're afraid. You're afraid. And, you know, we have a little bit of a game in our house because Tanya isn't afraid of the dark. She's afraid of me and Campbell in the dark. Which is a different thing. So the game is we're going to bed and we turn the lights off. And we all stand still and we wait for Tanya to squeal. Yeah, it sounds cruel. It may be cruel. Okay, it is cruel. But, and generally I've reformed. I'm okay, none of you believe that. Right, moving on. When God transforms you, it no longer, you don't have to control yourself. You don't have to think, right, I don't need to be scared of the dark because there's nothing to be scared of, because there's no one out there, because nothing is going to happen. You don't have to go through a series of things that control you from feeling the fear. You don't feel the fear. And the path that God wants to lead us to in terms of freedom is that. It is not getting better at controlling ourselves, getting better at not squealing or shouting out, getting better at not reacting badly. You know, I'm aware that when people are flying, there may be people who are scared of flying. And I attribute all the bad behavior that you see on planes to that fact, including being positioned next to crying kids. I got into one of the airport lounges, there was a kid going off. And I thought, Jesus, don't put me near that kid. So we got into the plane, business class, look longingly at business class, you know, start going down, looking at my number, thinking, I can't see the kid. Looking at my number, saying, Tanya, where's the kid? We get to row 51. There's the kid there. I can only assume from that God has a higher plan than my welfare on a 13 and a half hour trip. Having said that, and the child was, no, what very good is an exaggeration, okay? Better behaved. But I did find out that they had already traveled from New Zealand. So I thought, and apparently it screamed all the way to New Zealand. So that's good. But yeah, I see that when people are afraid, they react badly. And they do things they wouldn't normally do. And God doesn't want us to get to a place where we're just behaving better because we've got more experience. He wants us transformed and renewed so we don't have to think about it anymore. That we're not constantly worried and then saying we shouldn't be worried. We're just, it doesn't happen. that's what's available. The way it happens, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5. It says, we take captive. It says, that whole passage says, our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against, the way this happens is that the battleground is in the mind. And you are going to get thoughts in your mind that are constantly, and as you try and make a change, you will realize you're in a battle. And therefore, it says, take captive every thought, demolish arguments. It talks about fighting against the things that you're thinking about so that you gain a place of freedom in the mind. And you do that with the truth of God's word. You know, it cannot be anything else, because some of the things that you are afraid of could happen. You know, it's okay to be afraid of spiders if you live in Australia, because they could kill you. So being blasé about spiders and saying, you know, if you're afraid of spiders in England, you know, you could argue why. You know, because none of them are going to kill you. You know, yeah, it's just they're not very nice and they scamper around. But sometimes when you're afraid of something that could happen, that's the harder one to take captive. And that's where the enemy will get you. So, you know, we came in from the airport. Campbell's coming to pick us up. You think, is he okay on the road? Has he managed to drive here okay? You know? Has he had an accident? You know? Those are the things that the enemy throws in. And they're real things. They're not things you can say, oh, that's stupid. It's not stupid. But at what point are we trusting God? So we take captive those thoughts and we say, no, God, you're looking after him. You're going to be with him. You're going to take care of him. And then you start to go back to what you know that God has said. And that's why it's so important, and we keep banging on about it, that you have heard from God and that you hear from God about these circumstances. Your faithfulness, when we sing about God's promises being towards us, we've got to know what they are. And it also helps our friendships. When we talk about friends on a journey to freedom, that's where friends come in. Where you say to someone, where you say, I want to change in this area. This is something that I want to be free of. This is something I believe God is asking me to make a difference in. Will you help me? I believe that God has promised me that this is what's going to happen. But when I don't see it and when I'm feeling down, I need you there to encourage me. That's what friendship in this context is about. It's not about people trying to keep us accountable to something. It's about them encouraging us and being there with us. James 1 says, as we look intently, it talks about the word of God being like a mirror. And it says that if you look into a mirror and then forget what you've seen, that's not the way to go. But it says if you look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, God's word intensely studied will give freedom. It will give your mind what your mind needs to hold out against the enemy's fiery darts and what the enemy is throwing in. You can't do it all at once. Okay? I may not have, I don't think, I'm not maybe the best at self-analysis. don't snigger on the front row. But, you know, we all can't see this part of us, you know. I need you to tell me whether someone's put kick me on the back of there. And that's true of ourselves. But, you know, I haven't got a huge list of things where I think God, you know, on that list of things that I'm afraid of, those things aren't, I don't have any of those. I'm not afraid of heights. And that's why most of these charity things, I just think, I don't mind throwing myself out of a plane or abseiling off a thing or, you know, it doesn't seem to be a big deal. But if you've got a great list of things, then you've got to ask God to start, which one, God, do you want me to start on? Which one is the key to which I need to work on with you to see freedom in this area? And he will let you know, and then you, gathering around with friends, will start to say, okay, how are we going to work? First of all, we need to see why we think the way we do. Why is it that I don't trust God? Why is it that I'm scared? The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. So that's sorted, isn't it? This week, don't be anxious. Don't worry about money, because your Heavenly Father will feed you. Don't worry about clothes, because he'll sort you out. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's got enough tomorrow to worry about. So it is totally done. We just live like that, and we've got it sorted. If we haven't, if we are worried, if we are concerned, we've got to say, why? Why don't I trust God? And we've got to go back to him and say, God, why is this so difficult for me? And allow him to start working. It's not a competition. It's just in this world, you'll have a better and more fulfilling and more abundant life if you are free and if you accept the freedom that God has given you. And when I read those first scriptures and it says it is for freedom, if you've gone to all the trouble to unlock the jail and deal with all the paperwork and get someone out of prison, for them then not to walk out of that prison is disappointing. For them not to accept what you've done is a struggle. And that's, I believe, what God's heart for us is. He's done it all so that we can live a new life, a different life, a life that is free and light. His burden is light. He wants to live, to learn the unforced rhythms of grace, to live lightly and freely. And so that's the journey we're on. It's not self-control or self-improvement. It's transformation. And just like you've read in Exodus, when you first start doing something new, you want to run back to the old. You know, the Israelites, they were rescued out of Pharaoh and away from the tyranny, and you get them out to the desert, you'd think they'd be doing Mexican waves and making Moses posters and bigging up, but they don't. They say, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? Why'd you bring us out here to kill us? And something of the mindset of having been pressed into a way of thinking means that when you start to move out of it and when you move into something different, instantly there's going to be a gravity to try and pull you back. But God wants to lead us from one degree of glory to the next, to transform us from where we are into the likeness of his own Son. It's Jesus that we're looking for. It's Jesus that will do the work. It's Jesus that is our example. But at the end of the day, that's what is available for us now. Christianity is about this life as much as it is about the life to come. And we need to know that you can be free, and there is a path to walk which will allow you to say, I was there and now I'm here. And it's not, I need to be like you, because you're going to have areas where you're freer than I am, and I'm going to have areas where I'm freer than you are. But together, we can walk this path on a journey with friends to freedom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that this is your plan for this world and for us in it. You rescued us from one kingdom, from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom that that is full of fear and full of everything that is not you, and you rescued us into the kingdom of the Son in whom you love. And we are there now. We have all of its resources available to us. And Father, I just pray that we, as we move forward with this vision that you've given us, would start to see that it is possible to be free. It is possible to live a different way. It is possible to think a different way, to feel a different way, to act a different way. And Father, I thank you that this doesn't come through our self-effort, but it comes through your transforming power within our life. And so, Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, just start pinpointing in people's minds what it is, what area that you want them free in. Some of you will know what that area is, and you just say, if only I could be free of this. And it's like Jesus saying, as he did to many, what do you want me to do for you? What is it that you want me to do for you? He doesn't stride in and tell us what to do. He asks us and says, it's available. And today he's asking you, what is it that you want me to bring freedom into? Because he wants to bind up the brokenhearted. He wants to set the captives free. And Father, I just pray that you would highlight in each one of us an area in which you want us to move into a greater degree of freedom. You give us understanding and open our eyes to see the way we don't look at things the way that you do. And Father, I just pray that this week, as we take captive those thoughts, as we battle in our minds, that you would start the transforming work that would change us, that would make us a new person in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.